Okay. I'm not telling you to learn the whole Maseches Pesachim. The way many people were zogged to learn Maseches Megillah or Maseches Titus, even though if you were to do that, that would be ideal. I'm not even telling you to learn Perek Avri Pesachim, the last Perek Pesachim, which is certainly doable in the next month without difficulty. I'm not telling you to do that. Just to learn the Mishnayos of Avri Pesachim and the three or four Simanim and Shulchan Aruch that deal with the Seder. I think anyone who does not do that, I don't know how it's proper, how it's possible to have a proper Seder. I'll ask Rav Steinmetz if he agrees. To me, it's a Mitzvah Pshita. I don't see how it's possible. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll just review general headlines of Kaddish Rechatz. I'll start, of course, with Kiddush, which is the most obvious. As you know, there's a din of Tosefes Shabbos Yom Tov. That is a halacha which the Gemara has. And the Gemara has a number of times in Shas. You could add to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? As you can imagine, the answer to that is it's a machlokes. It's machlokes in the Gemara, it's machlokes among the Rishonim. Generally speaking, the Rambam has a din that you're supposed to add to the Shabbos and Yom Tov, b'chnisasu, b'tziyasu, koldu, ma'at. However, this only applies kol hashana kula, specifically on Shabbos, but does not apply on Leil HaSeder. On Leil HaSeder, Tosfos writes, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha that Leil HaSeder has to be dafka at night. That is to say, all the mitzvahs halayla hukshu to the Korban Pesach. Leil HaSabasa balayla hazeh, and therefore, automatically, what is happening over here? And so automatically, one has to, thank you very much, one has to automatically make Kiddush dafka at night time. One cannot make Kiddush mivo yom, even though normally, as I said, it's the din of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov, the rice and the Rabbanan. But here the pasuk says, "V'achol sabasa b'alayla hazeh," and therefore it has to take place dafka at night. All the mitzvah alayla take place dafka at night.
Is this the drinking or the saying the
bar? That's a very good question. So Rav Soloveitchik discusses this in his Haggadah. That's the second Haggadah that I recommend. Sorry. Besides the Kol Lodi, which has the Hanchoyos of David Feinstein, that are the most incisive and most scintillating ones that I've ever seen, as I mentioned before, the second Haggadah, which I highly recommend, is the one which is called Siach Hagri. And in the Siach Hagri, you'll see there that the Rav has a machlokes between the poskim regarding this matter. Must the Kiddush be made at Tzeza Kachavim, or the Shtiyas Hayayin has to take place at Tzeza Kachavim? It quotes the machlokes that tells among the Avram. Okay, there's one to talk about that, but I'm just responding to your question. The Rav used to be Medayik in Lashon HaRambam, and if you look at the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Chavetz Matzah, he constantly, again and again, recurrently repeats the following statement, that we have to fulfill the mitzvah salayla, dafka, b'leil, tezvo. The Rambam mentions it many, many times. You are undoubtedly aware of the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Yochad b'vod yom, tamalomar. It says that it cannot take place in Bel Yom. That's actually found here by God itself. And it has to be Dafka Meshach Shematzah Morim Lachim Lufadecha. So therefore all the mitzvahs halayla are taking place Dafka at night time. Obviously it includes Baal Kelsos. And even though, again, we're talking about mitzvahs that are Rabbanan, not necessarily the Raisa, but still it has to be Dafka at night time. Now the way we generally understand, and this issue is also discussed here by our Dr. Feinstein Shlita, an issue that all the Rishonim raised, namely, what do we do with Kiddush and Makom Suda? There's a din that every Kiddush has to be attached to a meal. Here you have between the Kiddush and the Suda, you have a rather lengthy amount of time, depending on how long you kind of mitzvah of Siva Tiyas Mitzvah. Hopefully you do it the way it says in the Haggadah, Kalamar ben Saper, Arezim Shubach. But you have an extended period of time, a rather large period of time, a hiatus between the Kiddush and the Suda. So the Rishonim all this discussion, and the Rishonim generally assume, of course, that it's not a problem. Because the Magid is a Tzorech HaSeuda. It's a Tzorech. It's considered to be something which is necessary in order to connect the Kiddush to the Seuda. And therefore, the halacha is that we're not worried about it. It's not considered to be Kiddush and Makom Seuda. Now, there's a very famous issue that is discussed by especially the Briskas, who are very fond of this issue. And Rav Soloveitchik has it also in the Siach HaGrid, for those who are certainly interested, and the one who really has it is the Briska Rav. He has it in the Chiddush HaGriz, that's where it comes from. That's really the marker for this whole discussion. And that is, what is the nature of Kiddush on Pesach night? Kiddush on Pesach night different than Shai Mas Hashanah. Tosfos writes in Talmud Tesfos Beis, at the beginning of Arba Pesachim, he asked the Kasha, Ma Nishtana Halayla Azeh Bikal Alelos. Kimat be using that lashon. Why is this night different than all the other nights? Then why is the Kiddush on Pesach night perhaps different than all the other nights? And how is it different? It's different in a number of respects.
Mitzrayim.
Okay, that's for sure. There's no question. Kiddush itself is a key in Masiv Yetzias Mitzrayim. No doubt. As you know, there are two mitzvahs that apply. One applies to only Pesach night, that's the mitzvah of Sipur. And there's a mitzvah that applies to Parshat Kula, which is Zechiros Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, as again, Rav Soloveitchik has a field day, one of his favorite topics. Why is it the Rambam counts which of these two mitzvahs? He should have counted which one, Zechira. Which one does the Rambam count? Sipur. Question, why does the Rambam not count the mitzvah of Zechira? And this is the Rambam quotes of Rav Chaim. This is also found not in the Siach HaGri, but it's also found in the Shurim Zecha Abimori, in a very beautiful piece on the Kuntris, on Kriya Shema. A Kuntris that I was told by Rav Shechta that the Rambam asked him to look over. And after he looked it over and reviewed it and again examined it carefully and again even provided for what I was doing on the Kamas, he gave it back to Rav Soloveitchik, and of course it was never published. And then a few months later, once again it was given to Rav Shechta for a further review. He reviewed it again and again wrote further haros, and then guess what? It was never published. And then what happened, of course, is that it appeared one day, not published by the Rav, which of course is always what happens. And then lately, that is to say, the last 15, 20 years, when the Sefer Shurim Zechamar Avar Yigmari came out, the Kuntzak Kureshma appeared. So over there you have in the Har at the very beginning this issue. Why Asolezi explains why the Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Sipur and doesn't count the mitzvah of Zechira. Obviously, Zechira is included under something else. The Rav Chaim understood it under Kabbalah's Mach Shemaim, under the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But just listing the chilukim between the Kiddush and Pesach night, one is what Noah said, that here you have a din of Sibat Yat Mitzrayim, a kiyum of that, unquestionably. Number two is, as in general, you know that how are Yotzi Kiddush? Yotzi Kiddush, the din of Shomer Ka'oneh. So unquestionably, on Pesach night also, it would seem that Shomer Ka'oneh should be operative. We should work with Shomer Ka'oneh. However, there's an issue here that's markedly different than the rest of the year, namely, that there's an obligation upon each individual to drink Dalat Kosas, the din of Shtiyah, which is not the case when we're talking about Shomer Ka'oneh. So here also, the briskets are machalik between, it's not the briskets, it's actually a clear taste of the psachim. I don't know why somehow it's ascribed to brisk. It's also ascribed to its other Rishonim mentioned it also. So the second distinction is that on Pesach night you have to drink, there's a din of shtiyah. Not only that, there's a famous sheet of the Ramban that was also quoted here by David Feinstein. It's quoted actually by the Shulchan Aruch. It means in general, you know how much do you have to drink in order to be yotze the kiddush? You have to drink below lugmav. You have to drink a cheekful. The Gemara says in Arabic, I'm bavar tzersh yitam. The person who makes a Kiddush, he has to be toying for the Kol Shel Bracha. But as you know, who has to be toying for the Kol Shel Bracha? Only one person. You can divide it among two or three people if you like. Several people can share the shear below lugma of a cheekful. Not one person only has to drink it exclusively. However, when it comes to Pesach night, here there's an obligation of each person to go ahead and drink. And the question is, what is the shear for shtiyah on Pesach night? So here's a famous sheet of the Ramban, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, and quoted by all the Rishonim. Ramban says that even though normally, according to many Rishonim, like Taisis, Malay Lugmav also was this year for Kiddush on Pesach night, and Pesach night as well. The Rabban says, no, on Leil HaSeder you have to drink Rav Kos. So Rav Kos means the larger the Kos, the more you have to drink. It means if I have a Kos of 20 ounces, I have to drink more than 10 ounces. A Kos of 40 ounces, so some people like to have very large Kosos, in order to be able to somehow fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush on Pesach night. But you see from there again that the mitzvah of Pesach night, said the Rav, is not simply a question of what the Briskov calls see the bracha la kos. Yet you're arranging the bracha around the kos yayin. That's what it is, kol hashem kula. But on Pesach night, apparently it's a different halacha. What's the halacha here? It's a din, as I said, a din of shtiyas hakos. You have to actually drink the kos, and perhaps here you don't apply the din of shomer ka'oneh that you apply in general. And another nafkamina that's also called here by Rav Feinstein is a nafkamina of whether a person can use grape juice. Can I use mitzvah ramin? There's a famous Rashbam that Rav Feinstein quotes. Rashbam says you need yayin hamishaker. The Rashbam says very clearly in Arabic Sochim, yayin hamishaker, something that can cause a person to become intoxicated. Mitzvah ramin, I don't think it causes anyone in this room, I imagine, to become intoxicated. And therefore, it would seem that that is not the ideal in terms of wine. And the truth of the matter is, there's another issue. The Gemara says in Sochim, in Arabic Sochim, the Gemara says you need yidei cheiros. Yidei cheiros seemingly would not be created by mitzvah ravim, by grape juice. The third problem with mitzvah ravim, also raised here by the poskim, and that is the issue, what bracha do you make of mitzvah ravim? That's a bracha in general. That's a general question in the case of a bracha that the Gemara discusses, and we show them talk about, what bracha do you make on yayin bevushal? Once I cook the wine, correct? So what happens to it? Once it's pasteurized, if you will. So wine that's pasteurized, so shitas rashi in kol hashas, is that you make a shahakal on wine that's mavushal, the same thing would apply to grape juice. If that's the case, you can't use it for dal kosos, because you have to make You have to drink Dalat Kosos Shel Yayin. We paskin, however, that somehow Bishul is not mafkia, does not somehow undo, does not negate the Shem Yayin, and therefore, even on Yayin Babusha, we're going to make Bar Pi Agafen. It's based on the Sukkim Ba'avasa, and the Gemara says, Saikin Adam Eshkosh Ha'anovim, a person can squeeze the Eshkosh Ha'anovim and make a bracha on the Bar Pi Agafen. The issue actually is, in order to, Mechavim Pasin Zalmacha, in order to be Yotzin in the midst of Kiddush, you have to have wine that's Roy Lanasse Chagav Yam Izbeach. Wine that can be used for the purpose of Nisach HaYayin. And the halachi is that Yayin, which is Nisal from Nisach, is possible to Kiddush, such as Yayin Mabushal. Any wine that's pasteurized, that's subjected to this process of Bishol, you can't use it for Nisach HaYayin, Agave HaMizbeach. So again, the case is, how can I go ahead and use anything which has, whether it's with any kind of fruit extraction or something along those lines, or anything, if you will, that I added sugar, because that's also cannot be used Agave HaMizbeach. Whatever the case is, there are clearly Rishonim V'acholek, and it was assumed that somehow Mitzvah Avim is Beseder, and even he, Rav David Feinstein, even though he quotes the Rashbam and says you need Yayin HaMishaker, and he also talks about diluting wine. Rav Shimon Eider Zatzal, in his Sefer on the, you know Rav Shimon Eider? Another very, very outstanding Posek, who unfortunately passed away at a relatively young age. Of course, he was a Shiva University graduate, and so he learned the Lakewood though for 45 years, maybe longer, but he's a Shiva University graduate. Anyway, so Rav Shimon Eider has a series of Svarim. I don't know if you're familiar with his Svarim. I think Levi Adi's Daiti, he had the best Svarim ever published in Halacha. I don't know if Rabbi Ifer agrees with me, since I see you here. I don't have my glasses, but I think you're here. my glasses, they're here. Sorry, I think you are here. It looks like. Anyway, so the yes, it is you. So it is. So isn't? Would you not agree that the Sfarim are outstanding? I think they're better than all the other Sifri Halacha that I've seen, and I've seen many, many Sifri Halacha. There's some very beautiful ones out there. There's a very well-known Robin Lakewood who also publishes many, many Sfarim for Art Scroll. You know what I'm talking about? Radiance of Shabbos and Beauty of Shabbos and Oneg of Shabbos and the Lights of Shabbos and all kinds of other things regarding Shabbos. Really beautiful, beautiful Svarim. And there are also Sifrei Halakha in Hebrew that I know is unfortunately to many a foreign language. I guess we prefer to be written in Swahili or something. But there are also very beautiful Sifrei Halakha in Hebrew. And there's also, I was told this, I'm aware of now because of this new Mishabura in English that was just published, I spoke about it the other day, an absolutely outstanding Mishabura according to my humble opinion. And he quotes from Rabbi Neustadt, contemporary halachic discussion, also absolutely beautiful author who writes with such clarity. There are a lot of beautiful svarim out there, but I still feel Rav Shimon Eider is numero uno. He's the best. Anyway, so he talks about chutzaretz. What do you do with chutzaretz? I think some of you are going to chutzaretz at Pesach, and you're going to use, I assume, probably different types of wines that exist in Chutzaretz. Now the wines over there, as you probably know, not here. Here in Eretz Yisrael, the wines are not mevushal, but the wines of Chutzaretz are mevushal. You know why they are mevushal? In order to prevent what issue? The issue of Stam Yenon, correct? Issue of Yayin Nesach. Ever heard about Yayin Nesach? It's not a good thing. Keep away from it. Stam Yenon is also not a good thing. Whatever the case is, you should make sure that the wines already that you're going to use are not so diluted that already it's no longer a Shem Yayin. That's what he's always worried about, Rav Shimon Eider. I don't know if you are aware of what you drink. I assume you are, somewhat. Whatever the case is, L'chatchila should try to get Yayin HaMishaker. At the end of the day, if you can't drink wine and the like, you can't drink grape juice. That's what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, and that's what's discussed by many Paskim, my name and honor. As it is, the Rabbi writes that the Shtiyah has to be a Shtiyah Areva, a Shtiyah that is pleasant to you. You also have to feel, though, you're doing Cheiros. Whatever the case is, as I said, there are a number of nafkamina between the Kiddush on Friday night, the regular Shabbos, nafkamina regarding the taste of Shabbos, there is no taste of Yom Tov on Pesach night, nafkamina regarding the use of Mitzvah Avim, and nafkamina what the nature of the Kiddush is it Sidur Bracha Lakos, or is it Dibur Shtiyah, and nafkamina also, of course, regarding Haseva, that you have to do Haseva, as you know, on Pesach night, both by the Kiddush, as well as by the Dalat Kosos, as well as by the eating of the matzah. And this is a question, is the mitzvah of Haseva din Daraisa, din Rabbanan? And this is also a very famous Biskorah. There are two or three beautiful Chidushi Agrizes. You know the Griz? You should get to know him. You will like him immensely. There are two or three Chidushi Agrizes that are very classic regarding Abu Sakhar. I don't think you were at the very beginning, but now that I have my glasses on. So I suggest that people learn Mishnah's Abu Sakhar. You want to try that? Just the Mishnayos. What?
Right.
Okay, that's good. They're very, very impressive. So you learn the Mishnayos by Reb Sachem. And then I also suggested further, I'm not the chayim to do this, but to learn the three or four simanim of Mishnah Berurah about the Seder. Learn it carefully. I would spend the entire Pesach doing that. Even though the only... How many stars are you having? One or two?
Two.
Two. Okay, so you'll need it probably more than I will. I only have one Seder. So I only do it wrong once. You'll do it wrong twice. So I too, really, I'm serious. The bone-in and hone-in on those simanim in the Mishnah Berurah, there are about four or five simanim that have to be learned bidaikonus. You have to learn them very, very carefully. They're very, very important simanim. Anyway, the idea of Haseba and how to go about doing Haseba, I'm not going to demonstrate that right now. I actually once was in a shiur about salvation. He spent a half hour demonstrating what Haseba is. First, he's trying to figure out exactly what you have to do and how you do it. He came up with a maskana to me. It's mind-boggling. I'm not going to get into it right now. But I imagine more or less you have to do Haseba. It has to be done during the eating of the matzah and during the drink of the dal kosos.
Does it have any other eating as well, or is no mitzvah to do
it? It says if a person is meisid, the entire achilas shtiyah is a meshubach. So of course that's what I do. It doesn't have a chuyah to do it, correct? It may very well be even a mitzvah in the Torah, and the chacham tell you exactly how to go about doing it. They go to the pratim, like Chazal always describe. Something maybe chalamoy is an asim in the Torah. Or asim and abanah to do malach and chalamay. Everyone's familiar with that. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim all over Shas, and we assume the Chacham are the ones to define what malachas are included in the Eastern malacha. Not, but I'm saying here, certainly for the eating of the matzah and drinking of the dalakosas, certainly you should do aseba. If you want to do aseba, as I said, the rest of the meal, how is the meshubach? Anyway, you see a chiluk in between the din that applies on Pesach night, the din that applies Kol Hashanah Kula. In the context of Urechatz, so here Adam Feinstein mentions, I don't know how many of you, I think Kishmuel asked me about this. How many people here, first of all, are makbid in general to wash their hands before they daven? Let's start that. Is anyone familiar with that halacha? It happens to be Mechabin Shulchan Aruch. Don't let it disturb you. The Mechabin said you should wash your hands before you daven. People are aware of this? The Vilna Gaon holds you make a bracha. That's correct. The Rambam actually quotes this halacha in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Vav. Mentions this halacha. Okay, many Rishonim, Acholik, and the Rambam, the Rabban, and others. But there are Rishonim, like the Rambam, who hold you make a bracha when you wash your hands before davening. But whether you make a bracha or not, I'm not telling you to make a bracha, but you're mechuyah to wash your hands before davening. Every single Rebbe I ever had washed their hands before davening. I never had a Rebbe who didn't wash his hands before davening. According to the Rambam, it's Maki B'dievet. It's among the Dvarim HaMa'akvim B'tfilah. So from now on, I hope to see people lined up outside. Don't come a minute or two before. Come 3 minutes before, 4 minutes before. And wash your hands before davening. Not just Shachris. Mincha and Ma'ariv as well. That's a clear halacha psuk and shachalot.
If Mincha and Ma'ariv together, does one person go between?
No, you have to go twice. It's enough. You can, even for example, the Rambam Paskins, and that's how many people have stomach on that. Rav Soloveitchik told people in his shul, Rav Soloveitchik has the practice of holding his feet together. He's a lady. So what happens on Yom Tov? He's supposed to wash the Kohen's hands. He wouldn't leave. Let's say he's the only lady. So what did he do? So he told the Kohen, come early in the morning before davening. I'll wash your hands then. You'll be careful not to mitame your hands. And the Gemara says, that's what the Mechavam passes the halacha. And the Mechavam says also, that a person can wash his hands. A master, lo kol hayom, make sure they don't become tamei. That's what he did. So in his shul, all the Kohen, Nebuch, were forced to come early in the morning before davening. I heard this from a Kohen who lives in Brookline and Maimonides. So he wasn't happy davening in that shul, but since he liked the rub so much, so he had no choice but to daven. Anyway, this halacha of Uruchatz, washing your hands, the Gemara says in Psochim, the Gemara says that kol shetibula b'mashke, tzorach nisiyas yadayim. I'm not going to go into the entire din, it's a complicated din, but the question is whether it applies today. All the dinim of Tumah and Tara, that's how the Rashbam, now the Feinstein he quotes, Rashbam explains this is relating to Tumah and Tara, yadayim I consider to be shame of the tumah, might be metame the mashke, and don't be metame the ochel. So the Rishonim would say this is not relevant the entire year. It's not relevant bizmanenu because are we makban on tumah v'tara? No, we're all tameh. We're not makban on din and tumah v'tara. However, the Rishonim would say no, that this is quite relevant. As a matter of fact, it's shulchan aruch, it's clearly a sfeikat the dinah, it's a suffering in din, and it says v'yitlo v'li bracha, davar shetibul v'mashke. I am very makban about it. According to the Goyin, as Noah said, you make a bracha actually. So I'll tell you what's relevant. Who here, I'm sure, all of you, not many of you, go to Dunkin' Donuts? Who does not go to Dunkin' Donuts here? Only I don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't think I have one of those as well. Plus, I have another shayla. The other shayla is pasaka, a few other things. Anyway, London kind of says that. Anyway, so for those who go to Dunkin' Donuts, do you ever take a donut and dunk it in your milk or coffee?
Only if you wash your hands.
Excellent. So here, people are very makalat you grow. They wash their hands before. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has one of his chubas, a very famous chuba. He talks about people who eat cereal, and he writes, since the cereal is going into one of the Yad Shach Adam Mashkim, one of the seven Mashkim, so you have to wash your hands beforehand. But he points out the heter is people use a kli. They use a. We don't hold like the Gemara in Beit Samidig Avasen Miyadeinu. We hold that we try to use it to eat with, shall we say, with appliances. Everything I say goes over their head, even when I try to make a joke. Anyway, but they told me last night that I make a lot of good jokes. I don't really think so, but my wife told me I should go away for a year and find some new ones. Anyway, but on the night of the Seder, somehow, even though Kalashan Kula, we may not be makbid, on this day, on the night of the Seder, we are makbid. And therefore, doctor, we wash our hands. And there's a very famous kasha of the Taz, Manishtana Alayla Zebika Alaylos, Dafi Yeser over here. Why somehow this night we're makbid? And the answer that's given by the Tzimin is Agoda, very beautiful Agoda. That's another Agoda I have to recommend. I can't help it. Imre Shefer, what a gorgeous Agoda. You know the word Shefer means? We sing in the Zmiros of Shabbos. For those who sing, do you sing Zmiros of Shabbos? But you sing Sfardi Zmiros, don't you? Which Zmiros do you sing? That's what I thought. So do you sing what? Anyone remember that language? How's it go? Just, I'll drink this, thank you. Baruch Ato Adonai Elohim Ba'chelam Shemakom Yabed Ba'am. Imre Shefer, don't we say that? Imre Shvar? Anybody remember that? Okay, we say that. The name of this appears on the God is called Imre Shefer. So he writes in the Tiv that Rishon would say we're not makbid on this dim is manazeh because we're not makbid on Tumah v'Tara. However, on Pesach night we do a lot of things that are zecher l'migdash. There's all slow things, such as give me one thing we do zecher l'migdash. Pesach night.
Kori.
One second. Is Moro zecher l'migdash?
Wait,
what's the Mara? What's the name of Mara? Mara
goes with
Karbon
Pesach.
Okay, that's a Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara says the Mara is a shared the Pisa. You are correct. But it's a Mizmana Migdosh. When they ate Karbon Pesach, the other Matzah Mara, based on the Pesukim, the question is which Pesach is the Gemara referring to? There's a Pesach in Bow and Pesach in Bow Lestal. Matzah Sumerorim, Yochalu, Hu. If you remember. There's a Tumba, which Pesach we're referring to. Whatever the case is, you're eating Karbon Pesach with Matzah and Mara, but then it's Daraisa, only together with the Karbon Pesach and Matzah. But today, it's certainly Davanan, unquestionably. But what is Zeichan the Migdash?
Like,
correct, you mentioned. Correct, what is
Migdash? You eat roasted meat. Like,
all right, do you eat roasted meat or do you not eat roasted meat?
You do not.
Of course, you do not.
That's correct.
You probably mean pot roast or meat that has water inside or other things Mr. Brewer talks about. It. Okay, whatever the case is. But anyway, it says in the Tiv that even though we're not makbid, kol hashana kula, on the issue of davashin tibul of a mashke, dafka and pesach night, we're makbid because we like to do things that zekal mikdash. Who here has a minute to wear a kittel on pesach night in their home when their fathers wear kittels? Pick kittels are. Begadim levadim, do the Sfardim do it? Excellent. I wanted exactly to hear that answer. You are honest as they come. Ashkenazim have a lot of reason to wear begadim of mason of dead people. You probably know what I mean. I really have nothing against Ashkenazim. I really don't. Even though sometimes people think I have an anti-Ashkenazi campaign. I mean, they just... what was that? I'll just disregard that comment. Whatever the case is. No, but Ashkenazim wear this begad lavan, number one, on Yom Kippurim. Do you do that on Yom Kippurim? You wear white?
Yeah.
Why?
Cleansing.
Here, these people are on the mark. If you chateichem kasherim kasher yalbino, excellent. So Ashkenazim need that more than you do. You need it only on Yom Kippurim. And Ashkenazim do it. Some do it on Pesach night. What else?
So the children will ask.
What?
So the children will ask.
So the children will ask questions. Wow, that's a fascinating one. That's a chiddush. Yes, he says that. And I heard also from the Rav, to me it's a chiddush gadol. Whatever the case is, there are a lot of chiddushim there, but I like a lot of that saber because I like when people say things that are provocative as long as they have a basis for it. But whatever the case is, what's the
question?
Oh, that's what the Tziv says. So the Tziv writes, he has this chiddush that was Bezman HaMikdash, they ate actually kachim kalim with a begel lavan. That is the only time we know about the Begel Lavan has two sugis in Shas. One is the sugi in Tainus, since you learned Tainus, so therefore, what am I referring to? Who wore a Begel Lavan when he was involved in the, shall we say, Yimei Miluim? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Shimish Begel Lavan. That's a Gemara in Tainus, also a Gemara in Zochim, in two places in Shas. Anyway, Bekitzer, so the Tziv says we wear a Begel Lavan because that's what we did when we ate Kachim Kalim in the Begel Lavan. Pesach is what? Kachim Kalim. You know the two types of Kachim? Who here says the Karbonos in the morning? Anybody says Ezel Mekaman? Do you say Ezel Mekaman? You say Kabano?
I should.
You should, that's right. This is the Katub, the Mechaber. Maran Abed Yosef. You follow Maran Abed Yosef, don't you? You're a very fine Sradi Tahor. And I don't want to take away the Tahor from you. So you should send the Kabano. According to Rav Soloveitchik, send Kabano to the Din Daraisa. How we came to that? But anyway, he was Mitzari, the Gemara Tainus, and the Gemara Megillah, and a few other things, and Rabbi Yehuda here and there, and a few other Tzirufim. And he came to a din d'oraisa to say kabbalas. I say kabbalas in the morning before I met Rav Soloveitchik. It's saying if he is my father, shall also say kabbalas. Okay, Bekitzer, this issue is something that you should follow. And what do you dip in? What do you dip the? What do you dip in?
What's the Rambam says charoset.
Yeah, the Rambam sheet is that all bitzalayim and charoset. Here, Rav Soloveitchik has a lot to say about this. Omer Avraham Zuheva, a very famous Rambam Raivin in Chometz Matzah, on the issue of dipping the mitzvah in the charoses. What does Rambam not dip in charoses, since you have it? What does he not dip in charoses? Something which is very blatant. Rambam dips matzah in charoses, what else? Bar in charoses? What else in charoses? Anything else? Does he dip the carbon pesach in charoses? No. Why not? It's also mitzvah in the That's a kasher of salvation. Yes, you'll find this. Yeah, I agree. Yes. Probably because it's lavash to the doula. That's the reason why. That's the people who learn in Brisk told me. That's the time. Yeah. Talking about my son, sweet love. Yeah. The main carbon you have to say is the carbon tumid. That's ma'ake. Even women have to say the carbon tumid. But you should say the other carbonos as well. They mentioned shavodar. Now, bypass. Many people do different things. I mentioned last year. And I mentioned every year when I heard from my mother, Aleha Shalom, she told me what Kappa stands for. And Kappa stands for the Chaf is
celery,
and the Resh is radish, and the Pei is potatoes and parsley, and the Samach is celery. Did I just say celery? What was that?
Carrots.
Carrots, correct. One is carrots. I forgot which one is which. The first and the last. No Mashanah. Anyway, but Rav Tice, as mentioned here by someone told me, who was from Elizabeth, I think. I forgot who's from Elizabeth, the original Elizabeth. What? We dip in Mei Melach. This is actually Machlokes among the Rishonim. But whatever the case is, as Noah said, the reason is, we want them to become alert and aware of what's happening. There's a big Machlokes of Rishonim where there's a mitzvah to eat karpas. If there would be a mitzvah of Achila, Ein Achila, Pusim Gezayas. It's a very famous issue that Rav Soloveitchik raised, correct? Rav Soloveitchik raised the issue. The Rambam, for some reason, Ki'ilu, forgot to mention the mitzvah of eating kezayis by Mara. The Rambam only mentions it by Karpas. And on this, you cannot imagine Kama Dziyon Nishbach, the Kama Kumus in Mishdabru, to such a point where some of the Mefarshim and the Rambam say he made a mistake. What would you say? Would you agree with that? The Rambam made a mistake? Probably not. You are correct. There's no way you can take the Karpas, the kezayis that's found in the Rambam, by Karpas and put it by Mara. Even though the Rosh and the very famous comment, and the Tshuva, and the Shagazariah, and one of the most favorite topics in Arab Zochim, this issue of eating a kezayis of Barar and eating a kezayis of Karpas. So are we not to eat a kezayis of Karpas? The answer is no. Most we show in the Chachmei Ashkenaz for sure, and he calls him here, I've never found him, the opinion that Karpas is not a mitzvah achila, it's a mitzvah tibul, and not only is not eating kezayis, but you're not allowed to eat a kezayis. Correct. You have a problem with the bracha achrona. There's a machlokes of Rishonim regarding the achilas mora. One second, that over there there's a bracha al achilas mora. In general, whenever you make such a bracha, ein achila chusim gezayis. That's a klal in kol hashas. You know that klal? I'm sure you've encountered that gemara. He's my rebbe, Daniel. I met him the other day, and I was very pleased to meet him. He mamish has a bas chok al panav kol ayom. He had probably davens masikim. It's number two. So he's like a bruna to have a bas chok, a happy face Kol Hayom, you're a very happy person. I've never seen you without a smile. You remind me of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Beautiful. Alamai, you should become like him too. Anyway, but that's a din in Hilchos Brachos. But there's a machlokes of Shonim by Maror, that there's a bracha achilas Maror, correct? Al Sheker Shonim is also in Tzivano, al achilas Maror. But what about the Baruch Piyadama? Shouldn't you make a Baruch Piyadama tomorrow? So this is one of our favorite topics as well. And Avi Psalchim, machlokes of Avunim Rachizda. See, all this is like coming out of my ears, and that's good. Because Avi Psalchim I learned about 30 times in my life. Every year I learn Avi Psalchim. What do you say, Zev? You should do it. I started probably around your age. And I was learning to hear many shurim from Hassel Avetchi and Avi Psalchim in the course of many, many years, of 13 years of going to Maria Shurim, every Arab Pesach, he would say on the Sukkot Avi Psalchim. So I heard him say most of the Sukkot is in Avi Psalchim, including some issues relating to the Kutcher to come Pesach as well. So there's a question, there's a klal. Again, the person makes Hamotzi, Lab Dafka, as you know, let's say, other things that I make Shakal on become part of the Hamotzi. But what the Gemara says, Dvarim Ba'boim B'toch Hasud HaMachmas Hasud. That's the klal in the case of Mavarchim, also the klal in Avi Psalchim. Anything related to a meal. Just to give you a sense of what I'm talking about, whatever is eaten lahasbia, whatever I eat for what purpose? For the purpose of
getting full.
Getting full, satiation, thank you. Whatever I eat for the purpose of satiation, so automatically, that enters the bracha of Hamotzi. You don't make, again, you don't make a separate bracha on, let's say, meat that you eat in the meal, or rice that you eat in the meal, assuming you made Hamotzi, I'm talking about, because that's what considered to be part of the meal. That's how the Rosh writes in a few places. You create a misgeret of a meal, and whatever is included in the meal, there's no need for a separate bracha. However, if you have something which is not machmas hasuda, then you're bechuyav to make a separate bracha. And now the question is, what about mara? What's the status of mara? This is a big machlokes of Rishonim. He quotes it here, Rav David Feinstein. The Rishonim would say mara is considered to be part of the meal, just like you eat appetizers. I was sitting with Avraham Lichtenstein a number of times at weddings with chasanis, and he ate the grapefruit with the cherry on top. Actually, twice there was no cherry on top. I observed him very carefully. I stalk him immensely. And so I saw once he had cherry on top, twice no cherry on top. He ate it with bread. The grapefruit was eaten with bread because he had a shayla.
Every bite?
What? Every single bite. That's correct. I was going crazy. I didn't think it was necessary to have every bite should have a piece of bread with it. What's the issue? What's the status of that grapefruit? Is it part of the meal? Is it davar shemigare, something that whets your appetite, W-H-E-T. For those who never took English. But the case is that, which is most of the yeshiva. But here, that's the question that he raises. Something which is the gara salev, so it's bamak sasuda, does not require a bracha. And that's the reason, Pashas, why mara does not require a bracha. Rabbi Shalom will say no. But even varam hamigarim require a bracha, but not mara. Because the halacha requires us, in effect, to eat matzah and mara. The Rashbam always points out again and again, Rabbi Sachin, that matzah comes before Mara. It's like a Seder. Matzah before Mara. Mara is a chelik, an integral chelik of the Seuda, but then a Seder. Whatever the case is, the fact of the matter is that this is a question whether Mara is called Vrayim Avoy, Machas HaSuda, Shalom Machas HaSuda, Machlokes of Rishayim, right there, Tais on the spot, Tais in Brachos, Tais in Psochim, in two places in Shas. And therefore, as a result of that, what do? What's our practice? So we make Baruch Yadama when? On the Karpas. And we have in mind the Mara that we're going to eat later on. And then on the Mara, we make a separate bracha, which is on the mitzvah mara, which is Allah Chilas Mara. You familiar with this? I'm not telling you any chidushim here. These are like alabes, like Abba Bobe. Anyway, so obviously you have to have in mind, of course, when you have the karpas and the mara, what?
Instead of your dream of chai.
Okay. You're a kiddie pot. So and that's why you can't make a bracha on the karpas. Because otherwise, then we would have to have a problem with the mara later on. If I eat a kazayas and karpas, as Noah said, then automatically I have to have a bracha achrona, and then you would have a problem, as I said, once I get to the mara. Matter of fact, some people are very medactic in general. The people are very medactic not to talk, with the exception of Divrei Torah. They don't talk entire the Shlach Kodesh. That's what's quoted by the Paskim. The Bura brings it. Not talking from the beginning all the way to the end, since you have to have in mind. But okay, I'm not telling you have to be so medactic, but I'm back just in terms of the issue of karpas, so it's clear that one should not eat a kazayas. However, Rav Shechta is knowing to eat a kazayas of karpas. However, that's not what he does.
He constantly eats.
He munches or chews on the karpas the entire way, all the way till tomorrow. No, Rav Yifra, ma'atol mirazeh.
Rav Shechta
minhag.
It's not your minhag. So I don't know whose minhag it is. I've been trying to get to the bottom of it for a long time. I know why he does it. He wants to, because of this issue. What? Yeah, he wants to essentially do that. But I don't know who recommends this kind of practice, except for Rav Shechta. He's an Olam Gadol. He can go ahead and on his own have his own practices.
He's dipping every time?
What?
He dips it every time also?
No, that I don't think so. Does he? I don't know.
How often do you have to eat it? It's not becoming a problem.
I don't know. I can't ask the question. I honestly don't know. I have to ask him. There's a question. It's quoted by the Achronim. I mentioned Abtites, and Elizabeth uses banana, so I started with Shimon Weinbach. Why? Because the din is that the criteria for kapas is the bracha of Rabbi Adama. So he wants to be koveya, so I have chaverim in Elizabeth. They dip a banana in salt water. That's what they do. Because they, and you know something? You know what that says? That says two things. That's a Gemara of Psachim also. You know the Gemara with Maim Shalanu? What's Maim Shalanu? You have the same problem that the people had in Psachim. Exactly the same issue. That's why you must learn the Masechta. So, I'm telling you, it's and you'll enjoy it. Psachim is a beautiful Masechta. There's a story about Maim Shalanu. Chazal required Maim Shalanu. So what do the people think it meant? All water. Just like you thought. So you're like the people over there. Where were they from? But they somewhere. I don't know where the name of the place is. What it means is water that stayed over the whole night. It got cold. Because when you want to go ahead and make matzah, you want to make sure you make it not with anything warm, because then you might have a problem with it. Sorry. A fermentation. Okay, anyway, I'm back over here. There's a question on certain vegetables, what broccoli you make on them. Let's say a raw onion. Can I use a raw onion for karpas? It's the famous one, the Balatanya and the Mishnebrua. The Balatanya paskins and the Chabad, actually, they're like Rabtites. So they're no different, just like Kiskovea, that banana you make a Rabbi Adama. So they actually use raw onions for the purpose of karpas, because the Shulchan Aruch Rab paskin that it's darkol echol, and the bracha is Rabbi Adama. I think most paskins don't agree with that. Mishnebrua certainly doesn't agree with that. He says, on raw onion you make a shahaka. You know, there's also your brachas about this. Whatever the case is, so... the main concern is that you should take a vegetable and you recite on it the Brah Piyadama. As far as the din of Lechem Oli, Lechem Mishnah, is there a din of Lechem Mishnah on Pesach night, the very famous Rambam? What does the Rambam say? Is there a din of Lechem Mishnah or not? There's almost what you would call in Hebrew, Hitnakshut Chazitit, between the din of Lechem Mishnah and the other din called Lechem Oli. The Gemara derives many drashas from Lechem Oli. Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. Or Madak Shalom Beprusa, Avtan Beprusa. There are a number of nice drushes regarding Lechem Oli. So, one drusha is Daka Beprusa. Not only does the man have a full, shall we say, piece of matzah, he only has prusas. Baruch Hashem, I'm not an Oni. And yet, somehow, when I bake matzah and I pay a fortune of money for it, I seem to get only prusas. I don't fully understand. I guess they want to be Mekai, they want me to be Mekai in Lechem Oli, in their tzidkus. And I pay for a kilo. 218 shekel. Why? We bake it ourselves. We have to rent the bakery. Two, it has been proven over the last number of years we are not very competent. We're very inept. Not just the rabbi in our shul, he is incredibly inept. But I'm talking about even some of the balabate who l'chur should know better. So no one has the capability of taking the dough and putting it on that stick and then taking those four or five or six pieces and then somehow flipping it into the oven properly where it doesn't fold over and become all, what's the word?
Discombobulated.
Thank you. And then take that at the right time. And you know what we paid that fellow? All right, Ifra, I hope you're sitting on your seat. 250 shekel an hour. So he told me he works only 3 months a year. And the rest of the year, he sits in the kettle and learns. He makes more money than the Rashi and Tarash Raka, that's for sure. And that's not saying too much, whatever the case is. The 250 shekel is quite a, how much is that, $60? You don't have to check, it's probably $65, I assume, in that neighborhood. He works 12-hour days, he told me. He kills himself. He compared it to flipping hamburgers. I don't think it's exactly the same. But plus, the kneading. We thought we could also do the kneading. We discovered we can't even do that properly. So we hire women to do the kneading. So at the end of the day, what do? I'll tell you what Rabbi Mashur does. He oversees what's happening. Sometimes he actually says, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah, that he also can do. He's very capable when it comes to those in Yoni Dibur. And then we also measure the flour with the water and a few other things along those lines. But essentially, I decided a few years ago it was not worth getting any of these balabatim involved. It ended up costing me more than 218 shekel a kilo. It was even more than that, so we had to reduce that. So we hired people who are experts, and we had to make it for 2 hours. That's why we're paying so much money. Would you say it's overpriced? I think so too. So I'm back to Lechem Mishnah. Is there Lechem Mishnah on Pesach night? According to the Rambam, the answer is no. According to Moshe Rishon, the answer is yes. Do you have Lechem Mishnah on Pesach night?
Yeah.
Atah Batuach? Okay, so I see you call the Rambam. You're not a Rambam person, are you? What I'm asking is, how many matzot do you have when you finally say the bracha of al-achilat matzot? Do you say al-achilat matzot, the 1.5 matzot? Or do you say it the way the Ashkenazim do, they start with 3? Of course, one, of course, is going to be yachatz. They're going to break it off and keep it for the apikoman, correct? And then they're left with 2 matzot. So they have 2 matzot. Do you have that, or do you have 1.5 in the end?
Two.
Okay, so what happened to Rambam? Why don't you follow Rambam? And you sure? Anyway, the Rambam says there's no lechem mishnah on neither seder, only lechem homi. And of course, the only people who follow Rambam are whom? Hasidei Agro and the Briskus. Of course, Kedarkam, they follow the Rambam. Everything is topsy turvy. It's like Vinafachu, a world of Vinafachu. The Rosh Hashiva does what his father does. 3 matzah. And I try to follow my father's without him to the extent that I can. By the way, there's another interesting distinction to the Rambam and everybody else. When do we do yachatz? We means the Klal Yisrael. When do you do yachatz? At what point in the Seder? Kaddish, Yuchatz, Karpas, yachatz. When the Rambam does yachatz? Right before the Motzi Nachilat Matzah. And I love how the whole shtickle tell you about this too. Also very fascinating. Take a look at the Siach HaGrid. Who does not own the Siach HaGrid? Are you Jewish? You must own the Siach HaGrid. They just reprinted it again. Am I a little biased? You think I'm biased? Do you own the Siach HaGrid? Do you have the Siach HaGrid? Do you have the Siach HaGrid?
I do not, I'm not Jewish.
He's not Jewish.
Ask me, Shalom. I'm just joking, you understand. Hey, you have to appreciate my jokes, I tell you. I'm a Kedai, the question is there. Kedai. It only, is it so expensive?
No, it doesn't.
I think it's very cheap, and you'll find there literally diamonds.
Is it English?
Siach HaGrid in English? The day that happens, I think Mashiach will be here. I can't. I'm answering. Maybe it should happen. I don't think they have it in English, as far as I know. But it's Kedai to purchase it. I think it's well worth investment, really. Honestly, you'll find there a lot of delightful Divrei Torah and Haggadah, which you also want. Don't you say Divrei Torah al Haggadah? Meizeh Sefer Ata Mishtamesh? Rabbi Ephraim. A very, very smart fellow. There is a practice of those who, when they break the Afikoman, so those, they guard the Afikoman with their lives. I am one of those who follows that practice, because there's a din of
Shmira.
Means the halacha is not assumed. What is the Afikoman? My home is a Rishon with the Afikoman, Zecher to what or Zecher to what? Either with Zecher to the Motzi Tomato, or Zecher to Gom Pesach. My home is the Rosh and the Rashba. And therefore, if that's the case, if you hold the Zecher to the Gom Pesach, Gom Pesach requires Shmira. Makom Shumar, so it's as Hadas. So I have actually 2 pouches. One I keep on this side, one I keep on that side. I divide the Afikoman actually into 2, because usually every grandchild tries to steal it, and they spend the whole night trying to steal it. It's absolutely, I have such a great time. Really, it's just that they keep awake from the smallest to the biggest for the entire night. And my Seder goes to Afikoman, we eat barely by Chatzos, barely. Every single year, without the Aminasias, Tzolim, and all that, etc. Anyway, so it really, it's a very exciting thing to be able to say that. Plus, they can, even if they steal it, which they have never succeeded in doing so yet, and this is going on for a fair number of years. Actually, one year I did something that was probably very foolish. I decided that I'm going to hide it. I didn't want to keep it on me. It's very uncomfortable. And so I put it somewhere. I didn't realize there was a... I thought no one was watching. There was a little set of hawk eyes that was observing exactly what I did. And he stole that pouch of matzah. And so I... is that still on? I'm not gonna, I don't know, should I go into this? There's a famous Siach HaGrid, which by the way is not really about salvation completely. A lot of it is taken from the most beautiful Haggadah I ever saw. It's the Haggadah, which is in the Sivis. You know that Haggadah? It's called Maisa Nisim. And I'm telling you, the Rav used to say about that Agoda, that Agoda is Mali Nisim. So I actually bought it. He said it was Mali Nisim. So I figured Dibbuk is going to come out of it or something like that. So I bought that Agoda. And I discovered that Agoda is actually a new edition that came out a few years ago. I didn't buy it. Because I have the old one, the old Maisa Nisim. But the new edition is much better. And it's also clear. You can actually read it. And it has there Shtikl Teres, and one of the famous Shtikl Teres, he has all the chilukim between Zechira and Tzipor, which essentially describes Rab Chaim. There's a sefer called Emek Bracha. Rab Paparanchik is the Talmud of Rizkarov. He has actually two classic Svarim. When you learn Zvayim, it's Hashem, you learn the Sefer Torah Zvayim. Unfortunately, he passed away a very young man in his 30s. And Rav Soloveitchik actually knew him. And so he wrote another sefer called Emek Bracha. It has the most delicious, delectable Divrei Torah on Moed that you can imagine. I'm telling you, it's like licking honey. Or if you like sugar, licking sugar. Or what do you like? Whatever you like, that's what it is. So there he has many of the chilukim between Zechira and Tzipor. Can anyone tell me the distinction between Zechira and Tzipor? It's found in the Maaseh Nisim HaGadol. It's described to the Grach. See, Hagrid has it also. What? Number one? Okay, Shelo Tshuva means that he has to be done there, Shelo Tshuva. In Tzipor. Arichus Kalamarach. Amar V'Lasapa is in Shubach. That's number two. Number three? What? Good, okay, excellent. Zechira, you can be kind of belayed. Well, Tzipor requires Bepeh, has to be verbally declared, articulated. What else? Zechira is Bekaldu, you mentioned that already. What else? Any other people looking?
Shabbos Chodah.
What?
Zechira is every day.
Excellent. Kol Yom Tzipor is only Pesach night. What else? Another Chiluk?
Shabbos Chodah.
Excellent. The Pikach. That's a famous Pikach. Asalajic, one of his favorite Yukim. The Pikach Nat Chayovim. Correct? Because all this, when we tell over the story, we go through the bondage and the entire, the history of our experiences in Egypt as we were Avodim. And then, of course, we ultimately come to the point where we became freed. And therefore, we're obligated to say Shach Hodor Hashem is Bach Lefikach, and that is part of the mitzvah Sipur. It's the government of the Halah. Sfaradim, do you do this? Both of you. Do you, Rabbi Ifra, who's my Rebbe, and you're also my Rebbe, as pointed out last night. Anyway, do you jump over a bathtub? You don't do Kriyas Yamsuf? Do you take that sack over your back? Misharosim, Tzurosim, Misiblesim, Al Shichlam, do you do that? What do you call it?
Misharotam.
Misharotam, Nachon, Misharotam. Anyone know the word Misharotam, what it means? What does it mean? What is the definition of that word? It's a pasuk in Chumash. That you have to know. Chumash, everyone learns. Misharotam, Tzirurot, Misimlotam, Al Shechman. What is it, Misharotam? Okay, you're going to look it up? Then you'll report to me in the next hour. You can look it up right now, too. It's in Parshat Bo, whatever the case. Okay, you said very good. All the chilukim between the Zechira and Tzi, but actually there are other chilukim that I mentioned by a number of other achronim, but I'm not going to go into it. Guys, let's just go quickly, and maybe just for another few minutes, because I already am probably reached my limit. According to, I just want to mention. Okay, I want to mention as far as anybody here have any allergies to eating from the chametz aminim? Can't eat from the five minim. Anyone have any of that? Oh, yeah, no problem, because there are people in my shul who have issues. But chametz aminim, some person cannot eat any matzah. They can't even eat oat matzah. So the challenge is what to do with them. If they eat even a little bit, they right away the whole body breaks out. So what would you say? Alpe halacha. What should they do? They're part of the stomach.
Ones.
What?
Ones.
Yeah, ones achmana pate, the pashtas. So, but the Mishnah has a psachim, and the Mishnah daf lamed hei. There are two famous Mishnahs, there are more than two. But there's one lamed hei, one lamed tes. Lamed tes deals with the issue of maror and yirakos. And Lamed Hei deals with Chametz Aminim. So the Chametz Aminim Dogon, there's a list. And you know there's a concept called, the Gemara says that this is also a big machlokes of Rishonim, that each matzah shmurah, I just want to talk about that, maybe I'll mention that. There's a machlokes of Rishonim, when the Pasuk says, Shmatim is Hamatzos, what does it mean? So the machlokes of Rashi, the Rambam, whether Shmatim means Shimur from Kibbutz, and that is the Rambam Shita, that everyone certainly requires Kodi Me'achag, and then there's Rashi Shita, Afichu, the Gemara says in Psachim, the Gemara on Daf, what Daf is that on? On Lamed Hei. But the Gemara says that you have to Afichu the Shem Mitzvah, the Shem Matzah, the Tuk Yisos over there. But Rashi Shita is that it has to be done Shimu the Shema. That's how we scream, Shem Matzah's Mitzvah, Shem Matzah's Mitzvah. So the Akronim bring down that that's who one should be with Dr. Gon to have Shemur Matzah. And Leila said, you know, the Gershom have either Shemir, Bishas Ksira, or Bishas Chino, Bishas Lisha, we know you can have Shemur, Bishas Ksira, but certainly the Pesach night Sedarim, if you have two, you should have Shemur and Matzah. Even if you're not Makbeti, Shemur and Matzah, Kodim Me'achag, But you don't have to be makbid on. Although my father Hashem has a Kabbalah to eat Shmur Matzah Kodim Hachagin only Rechaim Shalyah. Only him Shmur Matzah. That's the 218 kilo. I was looking to see Rabbi Soloveitchik. My father took me to the Schweitzer Matzah Baking Factory on Rivington Street when I was 7 or 8 years old. I went for a number of years and I saw Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zatzal, Rabbi Soloveitchik's younger brother. He was the Mashkiach of Schweitz, and he, the entire run took about 8 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes. After 7 or 8 minutes, he went crawling into the machine. And the process of cleaning the machine took 1 hour. He did at least, I was there for 6 hours, about did it 6 times, with brushes and brooms and shmatas and smartutim, and he, b'chlodo v'atzmo, together with a crew of others, cleaned out the entire machinery to make sure there was not even any scintilla of dough that may have been left in some nook and cranny, in some crack and crevice. That's about Soloveitchik. Harav Steinman, the more I get to know the Soloveitchik family, the more I am misspoiled from the Yirah Shamayim and the Yashrus, especially in the area of Mamon, and the Glockheit in other areas as well. Rabbi Ifrit, that's the older I get, that's what I see. I'm not saying anything else. I'm just telling you my position on these matters. Yes.
Going to be Batal B'Shishim. It's before Pesach.
And you're 100% correct. There's a more concern to be Sobech Hadat. Rabbi was not Sobech Hadat, any heterin whatsoever. That Kach Ra'iti B'mo Einai. He was so bedaktik. His Yashar Mayim was mind-boggling. I think I mentioned here also, after our Soloveitchik was Nifter, it turned out that he, many, many times during the year, he didn't look like he had eaten anything. Or he had these Yartzeit Shurim. Some of them we knew. For his father, for his mother, for his uncle, for his brother, his wife. I mean, there were 5 or 6 that were Yadua. Then there were a few that we didn't understand what's happening. So he'd say to the Gabbai, that's what the Gabbai told me, one of the Gabbai, Fjurstein told me, that the Rav said he's not feeling well today. Not feeling well, so he's not eating. This happened about 5 or 6 times a year, over and above the other 5 or 6 Yahrzeits. And then those days that he wasn't feeling well, all of a sudden the Rav was saying Mishnais. So we discovered, why is the Rav saying Mishnais? So in one case, he was saying Mishnais because Klal Yisrael was in the Tzar, in Eretz Yisrael. Because they were in the Tzara, the Rav said, I have to learn Mishnayos, I have to fast. What do you say to that? In my mind, he was as great as any of the Gedolei Yisrael that I'm familiar with. I'm being polite now. If he had the Astarte, he was greater. But I'm talking about all the Gedolei Yisrael that we're familiar with. He was one of the Gedolei Ador. And he was also full of Tzidkus and Precious and Chsidus and Yashamayim that to me, I never really knew about because these were hidden from the public eye, but I discovered later on, and you want to talk about his brother, Rabban Soloveitchik, Rabban Lichtenstein, Yvon Lachaim Arukim, at a Hespi, he said Rabban Soloveitchik, I heard 2 Hespedim from him, and I heard 6 Hespedim altogether from Rabban Soloveitchik, and he called him a chassid. Everything he did was within Mishra Sadim. And then Soloveitchik himself called his brother a chassid. At Boston, I was at a shir once, and Soloveitchik, he was speaking to Rabbanim to raise money for Yeshiva's Brisk in Chicago, Olam HaShalom, unfortunately. And raising money for Rabbanim, could you imagine such a thing? There were 200 Rabbanim at a conference, and the Rav said that he signs on the cloth, Yossi Dov ben Moran Hagoyin HaChassid, Yossi Dov HaLevi Salvechis, Netzuk Olalala. So he said in Yiddish, she was in Yiddish, he says, Moran is Nishdo. Moran was his father, Rabbi Salvechis. Goyin is Nishdo. So I thought he was going to refer to his brother, Rav Aaron. He said, no, Goyin is my brother, the professor of chemistry. He was a Goyin, the Rav said. And then Chassid doesn't Rav Aaron, he said. Rav Aaron is a Chassid. Alts was a tut, is a Fnim Mishra Sadin. Everything Rav Aaron did was a Fnim Mishra Sadin. He was Ish Emes Shein Kavon. Even from Seattle, you may have heard about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He was unbelievable. I was in Chicago recently, about 4 weeks ago. I spoke about Tzai Shabbos in a shul in Chicago, and I met a few Chassidim of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Recently, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was here, and that's his son. Of course, whenever he comes, I go to hear him. That's his oldest son, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He's also a very fascinating family, really, just a family of, besides being Iluyim, unbelievable diktuk in mitzvahs and Yar Shamayim, which is just, I guess you'd say, it's classic brisk, probably that's what you'll say. But they were so honest. That's what I really admire most about them, their honesty, in terms of primarily monetary matters, but other chaverim, their honesty was just impeccable. Actually, I want to mention one thing about there's discussed in halacha, the pasuk talk about machine matzah versus hand shmur matzah. I imagine that today it's not an issue. At one time, when they first came out with machine matzah, how many years ago was that? 150 years ago? There was an issue of lishma. Can you create lishma with a machine matzah by pressing on the button? Of course, they came to the maskana, yes. So I'm asking Meikar Makasoma. Whether they hold the beginning, whether they hold the end. If the hell was a problem, how was it resolved? They knew about the pressing the button to activate the machine. If that's not the Shema, I mean, the problem is it could create the Shema through a machine. Because when you want to write a Sefer Torah the Shema, the Sefer writes a Sefer Torah the Shema. And when you want to...
Matzah doing anything like the machine. You often do a...
No, but hand matzah is it's an action which is done by hand. The chesaron of hand matzah is it can lead to consequences where you might have, unless you're careful to work on the dough the entire day. It says that people, the person is Isaac and they're crushing the dough, call it won't become chametz. That's what Rashi explained about Shulchan Aruch as well. But on the other hand, machine matzah is generally a much easier process, less likely to have an issue unless there's pieces of dough caught in the machinery and you're not sabich on all the attempt that you mentioned. But anyway, today we assume that is there any distinction between hand matzah and machine matzah? Some people are makmen reichayim shel yad. My father was very makmen reichayim shel yad. Dafka, but it costs much more money. But anyway, the main thing is to eat matzah, shmur matzah, the first 2 nights of Pesach. Make sure you do that. I happen to like matzah. And since I also like matzah, I'll tell you what came first. Since I like matzah, therefore I like the diuk of the Gra. I like the shittas Rambam, that matzah, eating matzah is a mitzvah kiyumis. Because the Rambam said, Mishachal kizayis yasdei chavaso, and the other said, Mishachal kizayis yasdei chavaso. But if you eat more, then there's no question, you have a mitzvah kiyumis, you get kira mitzvah. Who here likes to eat matzah? Oh, Hashem. And therefore, I'm included in that. So I get a kira mitzvah of all the matzah I eat on Pesach. And therefore, that is the Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal has a deed in Lashon Gemara and Abim Sochim. The Gemara Abim Sochim says that, what do I eat on Erev Pesach? You know, Erev Pesach is the biggest problem. What do we eat? What can we eat on Erev Pesach? We can't eat matzah. What? Potatoes, right?
Yep-chick.
Exactly. What?
Yep-chick.
What else?
Yep-chick.
Dub?
No, meat and potatoes.
Oh, meat and potatoes, right. On Erev Pesach. Okay. Fruit you can eat, that's always a problem. Can I drink wine Erev Pesach? So what does Gemara say? There's a distinction between a lot of wine and a little wine. Which one is which? Gemara says, if you go and drink a lot of wine, that's fine, no problem at all. A little wine, the Gemara says, is not good. You're going to get what? Satiated. And the Gemara says, the reason why you can't drink, again, the whole idea is kihechi, in order you should be able to lechel matzah, tvei meurta. So this is an apples deal, tvei. They see from there, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. I told this deal, I heard from Yusuf Alpin in the late 60s. I ran to Rav Soloveitchik and told him this deal. And Rav said, where did you hear this from? He asked me where I heard it from. I said, Nisim Alpin. Oh, so he says, Matim, Azan Tamu Chochem to make Azan Diuk in the Gemara. Because I never saw this deal anywhere. Did you see this deal? Tzvei. Isn't that a beautiful deal? Apparently, it's a Kiyama Mitzvah, the Pesach night, eat more than the Gizesim. I don't know how many Gizesim you eat. I want to tell you how many Gizesim I eat.
I'm not sure we do it.
I eat 5 gizesim, sach hakol. Is it a chiyuv to eat 5 gizesim? Definitely not.
When does it change?
So where are the 5 gizesim, number one?
Oh,
yes, how many gizesim do you eat over there? Two. Next, what else do you eat 2 gizesim?
Avikomen.
Why? Why do you need 2 gizesim over there? You must learn Mishnah Berurah. What? No, 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 that's a different halacha. That's right, correct, exactly. That's what Mishnah Berurah quotes. And then the fifth, of course, is by Korech. How much is Gezayis, though? That is the seventh shear. I'm telling you, whatever you think the shear is, it's less than that. That's Pashur. No doubt about it. Not even a question. So people ask me, like the last week, Balabati Mashur been asking me, how much is the shear of Gezayis? So you tell them usually, a hand matzah, how much? What do people normally say? Half a hand matzah. Is that true?
It's enormous.
We measured it.
It's a lot.
It's approximately between a third and a half. Probably a third of a matzah would be sufficient. What about a hand matzah? So they tell you to have what? A half. That's a lot. I don't think so. You need a half of a hand matzah? I think it's less than that. Probably a quarter of it would suffice. I measured it already a number of years ago. So you don't need, but at the end, what I do is, I end up eating, when I say 5 gizesim, I eat 5 hand matzahs. Without a problem.
What?
5 hand matzahs, entire ones. That's only what I eat on Pesach night to say the night. And I saw, what? Only because I like matzah. I'm not getting into the nuts of Yehuda now, the whole issue.
Needs exercise, right?
1 second. Yes, of course. I just point out to you, there has to be exercise in Achilas Pras. So, I don't want to tell you what I do. But what most people do is what Shom Zalman Orbach suggests. There are people who take, you're supposed to eat in between the period of 2 minutes and 9 minutes. Which year do you have? 2 minutes, I assume. Anyway, so try to eat 2 gizesim, let's say, assuming for 2 gizesim for Vavikoman or the brachos that you make. So try to eat that in 4 minutes, an entire matzah. So there's one way of doing it. You break up the matzah, stuff the whole thing in your mouth, and eat it. Who does that? X and Y do that. Fine. But Hashem Zalman Hill, that's not normal.
Yeah. Water?
You can use water
to...
Yes, you can. To soften it a little bit or whatever you like to do. By the way, I should mention once while I'm at it... He eats it normally.
Slowly,
correct. You don't have to go ahead and stuff the whole thing into your mouth and get it down here in 2 minutes. What?
Maybe
people make
the second night
when the mitzvah's there, perhaps, as a mokum b'hakel. It might very well be. It could be. But in general, I don't think you have to worry about this matter. And I didn't discuss the whole issue of the note of Yehuda, which he discusses here also. Because, in general, the ratio between a kezayis and a kebetza, is it one-third of a betza, or is it kezayis a half of a betza? So the note of Yehuda claims, in the Tzlach himself, he writes it, I once discussed this at great length, that our Beitzim have become smaller. Beitzim Shalom who is Katan, which the Brewer quotes it actually. And is that true? Okay, here you have to. He has a lot of discussion about that, the Zohar Rabbi. And the others
don't
also.
Don't they say that it's a Sadhguru?
What are they saying?
Kizayis is really the smallest.
That is another academic piece that you have read, obviously. Whatever the case is, none of you the double all the shiur. Because he said everything is a niskata shiur. Because the machlok is actually whether to accept none of you. What we generally do is that for the vices we accept his position, the abadas we don't accept the position. So that's generally the approach that one should take. But why don't you try to eat it? If it actually has perhaps between 2 and 9 minutes,
half a matzah.
Yes, yes, even less than that. I told you, it's not really necessary to have.
Half matzah, each kezayis, or half matzah.
What was that?
Half matzah, each kezayis, or half.
No, it's only about I told you.
Overall,
no.
One kezayis, a quarter of a matzah.
Correct, quarter of a matzah.
So half matzah would be two kezayis.
I want to mention also, you know, the gebrachs. You don't have this, so you don't have any of these problems at all. Just the Ashkenazim have problems, and so there are those Ashkenazim who does not eat gebrachs over here that is worried about. Coming into contact with liquid. But I don't know how is it possible again to be a Jew without eating matzah balls on Pesach night. But don't you agree? Don't tell me. So you have to wait till Achron Shel Pesach in order to be able to do so. What? Yeah, so we have Lakshin actually. My house has Lakshin, of course. How do they make it? Lakshin? On Pesach? My daughters actually make great Lakshin. You know how they make Lakshin on Pesach? What?
Eggs and
correct, you make it out of eggs. It's a very favorite dish in our house and a very popular dish. Whatever the case is, there are those who don't eat what they call matzah shuriyah, discussed it here also. And the Gemara has in both in two places in Shas, in Brachas and Pesachim, the Gemara discusses this issue that you're not yotzi matzah b'gusheles, because bishul is mevatel the top of matzah. What's matzah b'gusheles? Probably, I assume, kli rishon. Kli rishon means where it's al gabi ha'esh. Or even, let's say, it's not al gabi ha'esh, it's yatsa leta, it's also considered to be a problem of bishul. Whatever the case is, it's a shayla in Shabbos, not a shayla really in matzah b'gusheles. So the question, of course, here is whether it undoes, shall we say, the time of matzah. The Gemara says that bala matzah yotza. The chiddush between mara and matzah, bala mara lo yotza, because mara you need the time of mara. That's the problem. What do you use for mara? We went through this yesterday. Mara, I use romaine lettuce. Except for, I told you, my wife uses horseradish. Not horseradish. The root of the radish. She wants to be kind of the pasuk. I always say, Ola asha biyapo v'esh mipiv tochel, gechol in bar v'men. So she's very kind of the pasuk, and therefore she dafka because of that pasuk. Otherwise, I don't know. It seems to me, l'fi adi is naiti, romaine lettuce is preferred. The Mishnah. A Mishnah daf lamed tes. There's a Seder. And the Seder says first, Chasa, says Rashi, li tuga. Rav Aaron Kotler used iceberg lettuce. Kach shamati, Rav Shimon Adi Zatzal. Rav Aaron Kotler used iceberg lettuce to be able to the mitzvah mara. And I use lettuce, which is romaine lettuce, but I use the lettuce, not the leaves. I use only the stalks. Because I'm worried about the issue of tala'im, even though you can examine it. I imagine it's doable, it's possible to examine the stalks are to make sure, not the stalks, the leaves, and make sure that there's no problem of tola in. But whatever the case is, I use romaine lettuce. That's what I've been doing for years. That's what my father Rishon used, and that's what I do. And Rishon is the kasha already. He quotes it here also. Rishon is the kasha, but it's not bitter. And the answer is, chilasa masin v'sof amar. You leave it on the ground, it will become bitter. So then the min is bitter. So it's not a problem as far as bar is concerned. There's a chazanish about this. What?
Can a first name mach wouldn't have both?
Yeah, why not? It says in the Mishnah that it's a mitzvah about things.
It doesn't
okay, I don't think it's a problem. I think the issue of Tam Mor has been a machlokes for many years. What does he say here? Over here, he doesn't really give you a preference, as far as I know, in terms of what should you use. What?
It's machlokes Rashi Rambam with this Mimur Tam Mor.
With the what?
Or Ramban Ram.
We've got it what?
Is this Minmar or Tamar?
That being Mavato at the time. Mitzvah Mavato Zuzu. That's so good. Okay, but say that. Anyway, one thing is clear. The Brisa says that the Mishnah points it out, no? The Brisa, by Mar Mavushal, that you're not dealing with the Chiyav. So here, Mishnah's Mavtiyah, the Tamar Mar, that I understand. But I'm saying the Mishnah speaks also of Kavush. If you pickle it, then you're not dealing with the Mar. There's a big Mahogos of Rishon. We discussed that over here. Regarding the din of Kavush by Mar. Rashi says pickling it means to dip it in chometz. Kavush Mavusho, and if you go ahead and you are sure of Mara Bamayim, there's no problem with Kavush Mavusho. Let's say Shriya in Mayim Karim, in cold water, there's no problem. Whatever the case is, Achronim have a whole discussion about it. Shulchan Aruch actually says, anytime you dip something in Chometz, even Meis Leis for 24 hours, that's enough. It's Kavush Mavusho, and sometimes even less than Kavush 24 hours. If you dip in the Chometz, it's also Kavush Mavusho, but in Mayim you need 24 hours for sure. So they have less than 24 hours would not be a problem. We assume like this, la locha. Anyway, I think what most people use, again, I don't know, even those who say that you use radish, but then not horseradish, that's why I should correct myself. You know, some people like horseradish that you eat with your gefilte fish on Shabbos. That is not what you're allowed to use for Mara, as you understand. Because horseradish obviously is shari b'chometz, and that's a problem of kavush gebevushon. As far as the shiur b'chilas Mara, as I said, you should certainly have a gezeis, even though the Rambam does not mention gezeis by Mara, he only mentions it by Karpas, but that's the accepted position. I'll just mention one or two more things, and I'll be here because I've gone way beyond my time. When I had Korech, there's another, the Korech needs a lot of discussion, needs a whole shiur, you have to look at the sugya carefully, and I've been talking to the Machlokes Hillel and Amoraim. Correct, according to Hillel, you're supposed to eat it all together. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim, whether Hillel actually had kavanah to eat matzah mara as one kind of unit, as one package, or he had kavanah for Pesach matzah mara, there even two yourselves in the Agada. I saw here in quotes, in this Agada, one nusach says, Hillel hayokorech, Pesach matzah mara v'echol b'yachad, and the other gear says, Hillel hayokorech, matzah mara v'echol b'yachad. Machlokes of Rishonim regarding this matter. Chacham argue on Hillel, they say, no, you don't have to eat it together. And even it's possible that you're not yotzei if you eat it together, because mitzvah v'vatal zuzu, what you mentioned a moment ago, Shmuel, and therefore tam amara is v'vatal tam pesach tam matzah. That's the sugi psochim and zvachim. So according to Hillel, you eat them together. According to Rabban, you can't eat it together. So even though the machlok is not a mikdash, the zman hazeh you're not yotzei if you eat it together, because even if Hillel only claims that you can eat them biyachad, it's not a mikdash, but certainly the zman hazeh mitzvahs ain't v'vatal zuzu. Anyway, hayotzei called Barenu. What do we always do? Yetzel Kaladeus. And then we eat it separately and we eat it together. The only question is, when do you say this line over here that Zeichel Lemitish Gehillel? So I grew up my whole life and I said this line when?
Before.
Never in my life did I say this line after. Opened up the Mishnah Berurah 30 years ago and he said, the Be'al Lachan to say it after as a hefsek. I told to my father's Ben Lebracha, my father Ishtageah, he went crazy on this Mishnah Berurah. What is he talking about? Why is it a hefsek? Why is this no different than any other tzarech habracha? Yeah, my father was 100% right. I pushed on what the Mishnah was talking about. So I asked this kasha to Adisim Alpert, that's how, and I asked it to Avraham Mechemi Goldberg Shlita, to Adamizol Shlita, to other few other Shlitas along the way, the last 30 years. I still have not yet received a clear answer, clarity on the matter. Anyway, what do? I follow the Be'al Lacha. Even though I should follow my father. So I did. As long as my father was alive, I followed him. And now I do the other way, but I'm not sure why. Explain to me the nature of the hefsek. Why is it a hefsek? Why isn't this a tzarech habracha? Why is this any different than any other divrei Torah that I say, shall we say, in the course of the Seder, that is not considered to be hefsek, I even go to the Shlach Kadosh would not be hefsek. Well, I don't see what the issue is. And I looked around at Rishonim, couldn't find anyone. I couldn't find, actually, it wasn't clear to me from Rishonim when it's supposed to be said. But in general, this issue also comes up by the simanim. I'm glad I say that. You do simanim. I'm a chaber. Simanim. It's a Gemara Hurdi. It's a Gemara Krisus. Krisus just started it today. You know, the Daf Yomi. I assume you're probably into it. Anyway, so there's a the Gemara two places in Shas has this discussion about simanim. There are some people who don't hold the simanim. Why could the Rambam didn't mention it? Tashomea. Now people have a convoluted, discombobulated idea of Masoret. They think because it's not mentioned by the Rambam, you don't do it. Shmuel, Tashomea. Yesh Kailu. And they are, that is a Krum Shita, Krum from here to Idaho. Okay, I just haven't mentioned that. So you do see money, correct? When do you say the, whatever you say? Do you remember what I'm talking about? We do a lot of see money in my house, because every year my wife comes home with a new, what do they call it? New Luach. And it has more and more see money. Every year we seem to add.
Is this the Ashkenazi custom?
It's mentioned by Rabbi Joseph Carroll. The Rabbi Isserles does not take issue with that position of Rabbi Carroll, and it would seem that the Ashkenazim also have acquiesced and accepted this practice, which seems to be universally acclimated in all of the, shall we say, homes of the Jewish people. That's the impression I have, at least if I...
What
do people eat the apple?
Sorry,
I'm sorry. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because when you say, not just talking about the bracha you have to make before you, but they say all kinds of things. For example, eat the head of a fish. What do you make? What do you say? Shini al rosh v'al zana. So I used to, like I told you that I had my grandchildren. I told them a number of times till they put two together. There was a famous rabbi named Rabbi Yom Franklin, and he was a chadish, many, many beautiful chidushim. And one of them told the rabbi of his happens to be American. So he said, "Shavat me'asav shalish, Rabbi Yom Franklin, about kacha b'kacha." So this rabbi said, "Me?" So he said, "Rabbi Yom Franklin." So he says to the little boy, he's 5 years old. So he said, "I think he's six." He said, "The little 6-year-old boy, my grandson." He says, "Mi shavat the rabbi kaze?" He said, "Me'asav, sav shalish hu rab." Rab Gadol, he told me. He says, "Rab Gadol, Azeh, who misachek itcha, who was misachekim itcha, lo asabo shali." My grandchildren never know whether I'm serious or not. You can understand that. Talk to them to know. So I quote a number of mamorim from Poor Richard's Almanac in Hebrew, of course, to them, and they quoted it to their rebbe and. The Israeli Rabbeim accepted a lock, stock, and Pashut, they thought it was Teres Moshe and whatever Rabbi Yom Franklin said. Anyway, the reason why I said is back at the Simon, so I told them, so they come to my house, Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, excuse me. And so we have the Simonim, and so I always add, because I have grandchildren who know Chumash well. So I started, Nia the Rosh Hashanah, Zana, what do you want to say over there? With the son of Hashem, the Rosh Hashanah, Zana, Yisivak Lamad, Vasil Lamada, and then I continued. Kisish Marzis Hashem Alkeha, Lishma Vlasas, I went off to the next 20 psukim in Chumash, so they all thought that this is part of the ritual. And I remember many years ago, I was Zeicher in Providence, Rhode Island, Baron Salvation came for Shabbos. I think I mentioned this. Did I ever mention this? There was a problem with the Mechitza. So luckily came there for Shabbos, Baron, and I was very bothered by the Mechitza there. It was actually my second week in Providence, Rhode Island. In 1977, 78, one or 2 years. And I was bothered by the mechitza, so I didn't daven it. The other mechitza was not kosher. So even though the mechitza was in the back, so it was a bill, but it was chutz v'dafna, maybe. I had a suffix, I measured it, wasn't necessarily tzvachet. Okay, let me shut it. Anyway, so I didn't daven it. If it was in the back, it could have been a bakum b'hokyam. So Rav Aaron came, I picked him up, and then I brought him straight to the place where they daven, and I showed him the mechitza. And he told me that this mechitza is not in order. We are going to rebuild the mechitza. So he told me I should take him to a lumber yard and to a hardware store. No problem. I took him to a hardware store, to a lumber yard. We bought lumber. He paid for it. I didn't pay for it. Rabbi Aaron bought lumber. He bought these long sticks. And he said, he asked me if I have, Rabbi David, do you have a hammer? Do you have supplies? Do you have hardware supplies? A hammer, I know what it is. I have some supplies, some nails, and this and that. Our Baron spent 3 hours built a mechitza that was absolutely the most grotesque thing I ever saw. I can't begin to describe it to you. It was grotesque, but it was still the kosher mechitza. And he was trying to figure out Ayman Ruba Lapova and sponsor Ruba Ayman. It was unbelievable what was going on here. I spent 3 hours, and that was one of the 3 hours, the most beautiful 3 hours of my life I spent, because that was after that, it was just downhill. The Balabatim come Friday night to the shul. They see this monstrosity. I don't know how else to describe it, but they went absolutely crazy. So Baron said, "Don't you worry, Rav David. When you introduce me to speak, I will discuss exactly what happened over here." And he did, sure enough. Except I wasn't the only one to introduce him. It was introduced by Professor Lee Michelson. I know he was a Talmud Rabban Soloveitchik, a genius. But he was a professor of mathematics at Brown University at the time. Anyway, so he's a Talmud Rabban Soloveitchik, one of these Mary Luyim. Massive genius from every standpoint. So he introduced Rav Aaron for about 40 minutes. That was the introduction. Because every time he quotes the pasuk, he feels the need to quote the entire pasuk and not just the pasuk, the whole parak, the shana pi'alocha, where they can quote only part, not just parts of a pasuk, but quote parts of a parak, or partial pasuk, mishal pasuk, all kinds of one chumri after the next. Fine, so he went on for 40 minutes, and after he finished, then I introduced Rav Aaron Soloveitchik very quickly, don't worry. Rav Aaron gets up, he spoke to Rav Aaron for an hour and 52 minutes. Definitely not less. Half hour he spent discussing the dinim of mechitza. What a mechitza has to have, what are the halachic requirements. He went to the Mishnah Sukkah, the whole Tikkun Gadol, he went to the Rambam Shita, he went to the Amishas Tshuva, he went to the Briska position, and my big machonis of Mishnah, it was unbelievable. I had the best time in my entire life. I almost lost my job in Matzah Shabbos, but that was they somehow associated me with this mechitza. Of course, Rav Aaron said, "I will not mention your name." He did not mention my name, and obviously I had nothing to do with it. I was only at best Messiah, they already mitzvah. A Messiah, they're not over there, Chas v'Shalom. Yes, Rav, did he have a right up in din to go and build a mechitza in someone else's property? He didn't understand the issue. The Makkah Sheshchil Hashem, he called the couple of Rav, Tikkun Gadol, he had many, many diukim that he felt would justify the building of mechitza. Anyway, I love Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He was, why did I get into him just now? I had reason. What was the last thing I discussed? What did he say something about? What was that? Oh, that's right. That's what happened. Quoting the Pesukim with the grandchildren. Yes, so he, that's what I said, because of this Lee Michelson, because this, I guess Rav Aaron is a basis for that phone book. See, somebody, he told me there are sheets like that. That just not only called Pasul of Paschim Mesha, the Gemara has it. Gemara Megill, Gemara Brachas. So to call Pasul of Paschim Mesha and all of Paschim. So you have to say the entire Pasha. Whenever you start, you have to say the entire Pasha. So the Briskas, some of them are Medakdeh, it's Haval that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is not so well known. There's a shayla in the Rishonim, but I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to end with one thing. I see Rabbi Goldschmidt is smiling at me, so I know that time has come to end. What was I about to say? Korech, Shulchan Aruch. The Rav is a very beautiful chiddush in the Rambam, which is found in Sichat Brit. Namely, the Rav said, the Rambam says, Yahakach, Oichol Kamash Aruch Tzalachol, Beshesh Kamash Aruch Tzalachol. The Rambam tells you, you're allowed to eat whatever you want to eat and drink whatever you want to drink. Isn't that a fascinating statement in the Rambam? You hear the kasha? What is the Rambam saying that for? So the Rav has a whole shtickel to him. You might have thought that somehow eating Shulchan Aruch is what? Undoes. What? What does it undo?
It
does not undo it. Does anyone think this is the practical shot of the Rambam? It's a very mechudishtik shot. By the way, one of the things that I did with Asa Olechik, he learned Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, Chametz, and Matzah. I heard him say Shurim on this at least 7-8 times in the course of many years. Every single word, he was medayik in every single lashon. That's kedai to do if you really have nothing to do with yourselves. After you finish all the Pesachim, all the Mishnayos, all the Gemaras, all the Mishnah Berurahs, then you should take out the Rambam, Zayin, Perek Ches, Chametz, and Matzah. You won't have time to do that on Pesach? What exactly are you doing? Even when you go to the Disney World, what do they have over there in Seattle? Do they have anything over there in Seattle?
I'll be here.
You'll be here Pesach. Yeah. So you'll certainly do that.
Of course.
Perek Zayin, Perek Ches. Maybe less of Ifra. I'll be glad to learn it with you. And I think it's published. I think they published it somewhere. I'm pretty sure. Did they? Maybe not. I'm sure of it. They're beautiful diukim in the Rambam. I would have done that. I would even start that now, but I'm not going to do it now. I enjoy that very, very much.
We want more.
You want more? Okay. I wanted to say, yes, Shulchan Aruch is part of the night, but the most important thing in the night, the Chiyah Yis Daiti, is the mitzvah Sivat Yis Mitzvahim. And that's why I'm against people going to hotels, even though my shul, half the shul clears out and goes to hotels. And the only reason why I justify it now, for two reasons. One, I've chilled out over the years. And two, I have rachmanis on the wives, on the women. The women really work so hard for Pesach.
Who's
the
youngest wife?
What? But someone told me, one of my balabatim told me, he went to a hotel, I don't want to say where, not in the Eretz Yisrael, but something could happen here also. And he told me, here's Agada. What happened was at a certain time they served the meal, and it happened to be he had just started Magid. And so, of course, what he decided was, we'll have Magid later on. We'll just move Magid to the other side of the meal. So they first had a great meal for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, he told me. And then they did Magid. What do you say to that? Anybody have what to say? So I'll let you know that the Seder is Ma'akiv. That's why many people say in Kaddish, Ruchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, he says twice a year the Seder is Ma'akiv. Once on Yom Kippur, that's a Mishnah and Yuma. And the other time is in the Seder night, and he has, of course, all his one Mr. Yukin in Lashon Rambam and here and there to prove it that the Seder is Magid. You can't go ahead and put Magid after Shulchan Aruch. You have to have the Tfilas Seder. After they kach, you know, each one is a matir for the other, all kinds of wondrous and wonderful Bris Columbus. Anyway, but Sibut Zeh Mitzrayim is the, to me, the two nights of the year that obviously say this also, but I agree with him completely. He doesn't need my imprimatur, my eskama. The two nights of the year that I look forward to are Lel Yom Kippur and Lel HaSeder. Let us say it's the most glorious night of the year. It's the most romantic night of the year. The Rav used to say over the Balmor Rabban, I'm supposed to end it now. Balmor Rabban, the Yerushalmi, that the Rambam quotes, Kol Echol Matzah Be'er Pesach, Ki Lubal HaResosim Be'er Sfambi. You know that Yerushalmi? Eat Matzah Be'er Pesach, it's like you live with your fiancé in the house of your in-laws. That's not a nice thing to do before you're married, obviously. I suggest you not do that. That it's even us. But whatever the case is, that's not a good thing to do. What's the pshat of that? So the Rav said, the pshat is poshut. The matzah is like the color. As if we are bride. And we are marrying the bride. The haraya, the shem of brachas that we have before we get to the seventh bracha is al achilas matzah. The going has this, the tour, the old shaykh have a field day. My father, the shalom, I remember one of the shurim I took at the end of the rav, and he heard that shir. My father started counting. Guess what? It never works out. So I told my father, you have to combine this bracha with that bracha, skip this one, do this. You know, like the way you learn the Balatur, Balatera, you add one, you subtract one, whatever. No, but that's what the God says. There are seven brachas, and the seventh bracha is the bracha l'achilas matzah. So it's like a kala. It's the most beautiful romantic night. And my father says, oh, do you have this minhag to kiss the matzah?
Kiss the matzah.
They don't kiss the bride? What's it? Let me ask you a question. Do you kiss the mezuzah?
Yes.
Why do you do that? Are you mechuyav to kiss it? That's why I don't touch the mezuzah. That's why I just mistakel on the mezuzah. Is that good enough? Of course it is. But you don't kiss anything? Okay. We'll just leave it at that. Yes, Hashem, you should deserve to kiss your wife. But other than that, try to make sure you limit it to that. But there are those who have a daktek, chibur ha-mitzah. They kiss. I saw Svadim kissing the matzah. By my sosa. You come from the Litvish, Svadim. You were a terrible influence by the Litvax. You should know that. You and Rabbi Kasola. I told him he should go to the rabbi. The Svadim rabbi needs him desperately. He's not listening to me. Maybe you'll convince him. He's an outstanding young man.
I agree.
Namish. And he has the personality of a rav. He really has it all. With such a, he's got a Shlomo Zalman smile, your smile. He has your smile, Namish. They're exactly the same. And he's Mali Begadush. And why does he want to go to the cabinet? Anyway, you'll tell him. I told him. I spent an hour with him discussing with him. Yeah. And then, of course, Rabbi Kevin gave me a haskama. So, that's what I look for in my entire life. He's haskama. So.
Okay,
I didn't discuss that. That's really low to say there. Those who are leaving for good, there are a few Shabbat guys leaving for good. Ideally, maybe you should take all the chametz out of your room. Okay, but maybe to remove all the chametz from your room, it should be not chametz. That's the ideal. The Rav is very opposed to selling chametz gomer. I would like to not sell chametz gomer in my shul, but I have no choice because a balabas brings me to his house and he has there an entire wall of whiskeys. I'm not exaggerating, it's larger than this actually. He has a whole cellar, a whiskey cellar. He's not the only one, there are about five or six of them. So that's real in the paps. Ideally, you should try to remove the chametz if you possibly can. If you can't, then you have to sell it. First, you have to do bdikas chametz, that's a din, it's a mishnah. Mishnah Pesachim. It's a Makabin Shulchan Aruch. So you have to do bdika. If you're going to be in the night of the night before the Seder, you're going to do bdika with a bracha. But now you're in the night of the Seder, you do bdika without a bracha. But bdika, you have to do. So everyone has to do bdika. Either you or your roommate or whoever, you're going to appoint to do bdika. What?
If you do it for good, you have to do bdika also.
It says, Tom Shol Shem Yom, you have to do bdika. It's a Dinah Shulchan Aruch. It's a Makabin Shulchan Aruch. What can I do? Anyway, so you must do bdika.
Isn't that not the amount that you're going to return in a certain amount of time?
No, that's not completely correct. Do you have a Shulchan Aruch here? I'll show it to you. I can't show it to you right now. I'll find it to you. I'm just saying, everyone here should do bdika summit. Everyone here should either, if they don't do bdika summit, they have chametz left in their room. So first they should, as I said, do bdika. Number two, they should sell the chametz to an Orthodox rabbi. So I will consider myself to be an Orthodox rabbi for that summit. And you can sell me the chametz if you wish. You're not selling it to me. Just authorize me to sell it to the goy, whom I will sell to Erev Pesach. So if you wish, you'll tell me, please, today, in the next 45 minutes, or tomorrow. I'll still be here tomorrow as well. Yes, Hashem. So you'll tell me, and I'll be glad to sell it for you. What else do we have to discuss? What else? Oh, yeah, people ask me about here the shampoos and what have you. Must all this stuff be kosher Pesach? I am very mekel on all these matters, as you probably know. I don't understand all the chumras. I think they have no basis for them whatsoever, except for to make money for people who want to milk you for all you got. So toothpaste, I think anything goes into your mouth, you should buy something that's kosher Pesach. But other than that, the truth is, make your idea, according to my humble opinion, you can cut the toothpaste on the top, remove the top layer, the rest would be fine. But I'm not telling you to do that, because then your mothers would get upset, and you don't have wives yet, but if you had wives, they'd get upset. So I'm not telling you to do that. Anything goes into your mouth, you should be careful about. Especially things that may have alcohol in there. You've got to be careful about. But otherwise, any other thing, kimat everything is this from Achilas Kelen. Rabbi Shah has a tshuva where he talks about people who, on the Bowery, Lower East Side there, who drink perfumes because of the alcohol content inside. I don't think people are doing that. People, I was told by a chemist in my shul and a pharmacist in my shul that these are all poison. You can kill yourself if you drink any of this stuff. And people don't do that. So I don't see why people have to be makpid on powders and deodorants and all these other kinds of things. It's pasha to me. You can buy anything. Or if you want to be sober doctor, you'll buy before Pesach. I'm not sure why before Pesach. During Pesach, I don't see a chilek at all. But whatever the case is, I am no to the hokel all these matters. The only problem is, in my family, you know what happens. Even though I think this way, and but the Balabatim Ashur accept everything I say, hook, line, and sinker. But not always does Ishvi Gufo accept everything I say, hook, line, and sinker. She's very machmir on many, many things, my wife. And that's why, Baruch Hashem, I was lucky to have good children. Make sure you marry a wife who's more frum than you are. Because otherwise, you guys don't have a chance. Hashem bless you. Hakashah Sama.
Hashem bless you.